This is our number.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Holy bajolies! We have flown through the first hour of the show today. Glad you're hanging out with us, coming to you from the Carter Subaru studio. It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. So yesterday, Nicole was kind of worried about me because I took a sick day Monday for the first time in, now, I don't remember. Other than surgeries, I think I've taken five or so in 26 years. So last night, I'm working on the show because I'm thinking, well, since I've been a little under the weather, wouldn't it be nice if I could just get a lot of today's show thought through and put together last night? So I started working on the show, and I'm working and I'm working and I'm working. And finally, about 2:50 or so, I'm feeling pretty good about today's show. So I knew Nicole would be sound asleep. So I just shot her a text to say, hey, been up working late. I'm going to try to sleep in a little bit. And you responded like 30 seconds later. So did my text wake you?
Well, we're both kind of insomniacs, but so no, it didn't wake me this time. Occasionally it will, but I was already kind of awake. I
you were awake at 3 a.m.?
Yeah, I usually wake up at 3 a.m. during the night.
Because then I felt guilty because I was afraid. Do you have it on silent, right, your phone?
No. What if there was an emergency?
I don't know. But I need to know this. So if I text you at 3 in the morning, your phone's gonna make a noise?
Yeah, but sometimes, I mean, it's usually only, I won't wake up to the text messages usually. I would wake up if the phone rang. But no, usually the text messages don't wake me up. I was just already awake.
Well, but I'm going to stop doing this, though, if there's
even a
chance.
I don't care. Well, nope, I would rather know what I'm in for in the morning.
If there's a chance of it waking you, I don't want to do that because then I'm going to feel guilty. This isn't about you. It's about me. I'll feel guilty if I wake you. So what I'd like to do from now on is, Sean, can I text you at 3 a.m. and then you pass it along to Nicole? And that way I won't feel guilty. You will.
Sure. Yeah. So you won't feel guilty possibly waking me up then?
I'm guessing you have you been listening to our conversation, Ian?
Yeah. Yeah. I work at a major market radio station. I kind of have to listen.
So yes, I'd like to take the chance. Would you wake up if I texted you at 3 a.m.?
It's possible. I tend to toss and turn every once in a while. I'll get woken up by my cat. So, I mean, it's possible that I would be maybe awake at that time. Okay. And if I hear a text at, you know, a notification at 3 in the morning, I'm probably going to ignore it.
You know what a better plan would be is for you to do some kind of sleep study. Figure out why you don't sleep at night.
Well, and then the thing is, so I send you the text at 3, and I said I'm going to sleep in the morning. And then I realized, you know what, there's some audio that I think I want for today's show. So I started looking for that. So I didn't go to sleep until 5, and then I woke up at 6:20 this morning. So I only slept 80 minutes last night. That's not good.
So, that is correct. It is not good.
Okay, I'll figure out something. I'll do this. Maybe I will do the sleep study again.
Yep,
I did it a few years ago. I'll do it again. All right, but the bottom line is, if we put all of this time and effort and energy into the show, why in the world have I not gotten to the fastest 15 yet, for crying out loud? So let me do that.
That's a great question. I am glad you're feeling better, though. The bird flu thing's gone.
I never had the bird flu. I don't know what I had. I'll talk about it next week. I'll explain it all when I'm free to explain it, okay? But there were some dramatic developments yesterday that but I can't talk about it until next week. So just wait, though. Make sure you DVR next week's shows. We should get a DVR for our radio show. Oh, yeah, we do. It's called Nap. Never mind. Okay, I'm going on 80 minutes sleep. All right, let's go to Washington, D.C., where the president of the United States, Joe Biden, well, we know he's the president. I'm not sure that Joe knows that he's the president, but he gave us some absolutely wonderful news yesterday. He said, if you get vaccinated, he will allow you to celebrate the 4th of July this year.
Take the precautions I talked about, that you'll be able to have a 4th of July, an Independence Day on July the 4th, as I defined about 3 weeks ago. I want to have an Independence Day, an independence from the COVID. So you're able to get in the backyard with a small group of people, of friends and neighbors, and celebrate Independence Day because you've been vaccinated, because you're safe, because you're in the clear.
So if you get vaccinated, he will allow you to have a celebration on the 4th of July. Oh, I've got another serious question that I'd like to get your opinion on, Nicole, but also I'd like to get the listener's opinion. So my wife has a milestone birthday coming up in September. I have a milestone birthday coming up in October. And so for my wife's 50th birthday, we weren't working together on her 50th birthday, were we, Nicole?
I don't believe
so. That was before you. Okay, so you weren't here for that. So for my wife's 50th birthday, she thought it would be fun. And it turns out everybody had a blast. I thought it sounded corny. But, you know, my wife's got, like you, Nicole, my wife has a little bit of country in her. You know, she grew up in Clark County, Vancouver, well, the suburbs of Vancouver, Washington. And she thought, because she had done this before, she thought, wouldn't it be fun if we got all of our friends and we did something that's just about pure fun? And she said, what if we hired a square dancing caller? And I've never square danced in my life. And she thought that would be really fun to do a square dance in our backyard. And it didn't sound fun to me going in. We had a blast. And the guy was really great who we hired, and all our friends got into it, and they were all wearing the, you know, appropriate clothing for that. And so then we did that for about, I don't know, 45 minutes, and then we set up a big tent, and we had a caterer, and then we just played music deep into the night, and everybody ate and danced and laughed. And since then, one of our daughters has gotten married, and it was the same thing. Food and music and laughter and dancing. And I've often said that my daughter's wedding reception, which you were at, that is my image of what heaven will be like. Just everybody you love, dancing, eating, laughing, fun, just nothing going wrong. Everything was just beautiful and pure. So anyway, 50th birthday was kind of like that. The daughter's wedding was like that. And so we thought, well, since we both have a milestone birthday coming up September and October, let's do that again this year. And I talked to a childhood friend of mine last weekend, a guy I played Little League baseball with, who's in a real fun band. And he said, well, we haven't had any gigs because of COVID, but we can start practicing again. And I was thinking, well, if we did it in August, there'd be a much better chance of of the weather being okay, and we'd want to rent a trailer with, not porta potties, but, you know, a nice bathroom that you trailer in if we had, you know, 75 or 100 people here. So here's my question, because you just got burned. You were going to go to a concert in Colorado, Nicole, and you just found out a couple of days ago that it's been canceled.
Yeah.
You were sure. Who was it again?
Well, it was a country artist. But did you hear the news this morning that Eric Church has announced that he'll be performing at the Climate Pledge Arena in October? I believe he'll be the first concert.
I did not hear that.
But Brantley Gilbert was who I was supposed to see in Colorado. But now I am excited to see Eric Church. I just have to get tickets.
You're going to have to talk to Brock about this whole Colorado thing, though.
I know.
You were praising his state. He's going to be off us in a few minutes. And you said, but they're doing concerts now. And then you just found out your concert. Anyway, let me get to the whole point of my story. So, you know, if we're going to have a band and we're going to get the bathroom trailer and, you know, the caterer, we're going to have to start laying out some dough. But I don't know if Jay Inslee will let us do that by August, and B, although most of us will be vaccinated, but then B, I don't know if everybody's going to feel comfortable doing by August. I think all of our friends will be comfortable because we have very cool friends. But so what do you think about this?
Well, I think it's a great idea. I know that John has talked about this on his show, but he is planning a similar event at his place in Cleellum, like probably.
I honestly did not know
weeks before that.
When's he going to do his?
Sometime June or July, so probably just weeks before yours.
Okay.
And so he can be your guinea pig, I guess.
Yeah, but I want to start locking things down now. And by the way, Curly will be invited.
Of course, and you're invited to his. I know.
How do you know that? I haven't gotten an invitation. I didn't even know he was doing a thing.
Yeah, well, the invitations have not gone out yet, so.
Okay.
I think it's doable. I don't think you need permission. I don't know if it'll be allowed, but I think that, you know, private property.
Well, but Jay Inslee just said that he will only allow us to have the 4th of July if we get vaccinated.
Well, Biden said that.
So, Biden, yeah.
I don't think Biden will show up at your back door, though. Shut it down.
He might.
Take the precautions I talked about, that you'd be able to have a 4th of July, an Independence Day on July the 4th.
I like how he puts a laugh in there. He's like, he just thought of an Independence Day. That's pretty good. On July the 4th.
So, if you play it by ear. We're all just kind of playing it by ear, right?
I think I'm tired of playing by ear.
Oh,
I think that it's time for us to just take control of our lives, and I'm just going to do it. And if the feds come in, if the black helicopters come swooping down on my backyard, well then so be it. I've never been arrested in my nearly 60 years. Wouldn't that be something? If I got arrested leading up to my 60th birthday party? Yeah, exactly. But I'm tired of asking permission. I'm tired of looking to Joe Biden and Jay Inslee for how we should run our life. If my image of heaven is all of the components of these events, I guarantee you that overreaching government has nothing to do with my image of heaven. So anyway, text me at 989973. That's 989973.
Yes. Definitely by then, everyone who wants to be vaccinated will be vaccinated. Everyone who doesn't is obviously willing to take a risk if there is a risk to be taken.
Then you have this. So, Major League Baseball, they've pulled the All-Star game out of Atlanta, as we talked about extensively yesterday, because Joe Biden and the most in the media have been spinning a wild lie about what the voter registration law is all about and saying that it's like Jim Crow, it's all crazy. Yesterday, Joe Biden was asked about the Masters, which begins tomorrow in Augusta, Georgia, one of the great, not just golf tournaments, it's one of the great sporting events in the world. And Joe Biden was asked, well, you think baseball should get out of Georgia? Do you think the Masters should get out of Georgia? And I know that generally Joe isn't thought of as a dynamic, electric speaker, but I want you to strap yourself in for a 34-second roller coaster ride, because Joe Biden gives a dynamic answer to whether the Masters should get out of Georgia.
I think the Masters golf tournament should be moved out of Georgia.
I think that's up to the Masters. Look, it is reassuring to see that for-profit operations and businesses are speaking up about how these new Jim Crow laws are just antithetical to who we are.
Whew. Whew. Now that man can fire somebody up, and that somebody is me. Then I love this. John Kennedy is the senator from Louisiana, and he was asked about Major League Baseball pulling out of Georgia. And I tell you, John Kennedy is always, always, always an entertaining guy. But, man, I loved hearing him talk about this whole All-Star game pullout.
Forget Mars. We need to search for intelligent life in Major League Baseball commissioner's office. I've never seen anything like this. You know, Commissioner Manfred has a fiduciary responsibility to Major League Baseball. His job is to do the very best that he can, not to suck. And he has failed that. I mean, think what he's done. Major League Baseball is losing popularity to football and other sports. His job is to grow it. So what's the first thing he does? He decides to get involved in national politics and to alienate hundreds of millions of Americans who actually like the Georgia bill and think that it is an honest effort for election security.
This is such a great point. Baseball is struggling to compete with other sports right now. 75% of Americans like the voter ID law, and the commissioner of baseball has decided to turn his sport into a partisan political operation. Just from a business standpoint, it's incredibly stupid. And the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred, guess where he's a member? Augusta National in Georgia. Let's see if he cancels his membership. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Because 15 minutes will give you the world. We're going to check the news for you, and then Brock Heward will join us live. Talk about the All-Star thing and lots more coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's Hump Day with Heward.
Blue in it, check. Brown, 24, Razor.
Brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. With a 12s, hear the Hawks.
Play fake to Benny Russell, lets it go. Down the far sideline, reaching up, making the catch. Touchdown, Seahawks!
Here's Dory Monson.
Well, it was about 25 years ago when a tall, slinging lefty arrived at the University of Washington campus wearing number 7, having some glory days as a Husky football player before his NFL career. Brock Huard joins us here on the Dory Monson Show.
Viking power will survive through the class of 95. Viking power will survive through the class of 95.
Oh, I'm a beaver, you're a beaver, we're beavers all. And when we get together, we do our beaver call. There we go. Let's hear our big high school fight songs there. How about that?
That was not. Please tell me that was not your fight song.
And if the listeners can believe this, that was all ad-libbed and unprepared by Brock. How about that?
That's true. That is true. So, yes, roughly 25 years ago, graduated. Yeah, unlike my slinging Sammy nephew, who early enrolled, like many of the kids do these days. So he started spring quarter last week at the University of Washington for spring practice today. I arrived in the summer of 95, but it kind of neat to see my nephew and the lefty out there with his first practice this morning.
So your nephew, just a couple weeks ago, he set whatever Washington State all-time high school records he did not yet have. He's pretty much broken everything now, right?
Well, he would have if they had any kind of season, yes. So unfortunately,
well, I thought I read that he set.
Well, he set the all-time passing yards. Yeah, like 13,300 yards passing. So he did not get the touchdown mark or completions or whatever. But yes, he did set the all-time. I think he ended up 8 touchdowns short of Kellen Moore. I mean, the guys on the list are pretty good now. They all have seen some time in the NFL, and it's a pretty cool list to be a part of. So, yes, he is the all-time leading passer as far as yards go in the state of Washington.
A few weeks ago, you had something going on Wednesday when we usually do hump day with you. But I had nephew Sammy on the show. He's a very nice young man, too.
Pretty sharp.
Which is, very nice kid. So was that a picture of him that you texted me at his Husky practice?
Yeah, that was so this morning.
He's going to wear Uncle Brock's number 7?
Well, he's going to wear, I think he would probably say his dad Damon's number 7. So I think he probably would point first to dad. But then, yes. And oh, by the way, the lefty uncle happened to wear number 7 as well. So, yeah.
You know what? This is what a dope I am. I actually did not know that Damon wore number 7. I should know that. I should know these things, shouldn't I?
That's all right. It's called show prep. You got other show prep. More important, with me, we just talk. You and I, just two friends on the radio. You doing a stupid beaver sound effects and me giving you my Viking pride will survive through the class of 95. So, yeah, kind of a neat day. Kind of a neat day for Sam. The first of 15 practices, and he'll be vying for that starting spot. It'll be a battle. The incumbent comes back with a little bit of experience, Dylan Morris. And so it'll be good little competition for Sammy.
In other areas of news in our state here, Gonzaga came up short. I was very disappointed on Monday night, Brock, because I love this team as much as I can love a college basketball team because of the way they play the game, because it's very much a throwback. It is a coach's game, perfectly executed by great players. And I was so disappointed when they gave up like 5 or 6 offensive rebounds on the first 3 possessions and on the most basic fundamental of what I thought was one of the all-time great fundamental teams. And it was like 3.5 minutes in and I knew that they weren't going to win that game.
Agreed. Said the same thing. You know, I was asked on a national show, they asked what is the percentage of fans in Washington State Huskies or Cougars that root for Gonzaga? How does that work? Do you think Husky fans, Cougar fans hate them? Do they root for them? What do you think from your perspective? You're a Husky. I'm a Husky. I root for them for the exact same reasons. To me, they've earned everything. They've done everything the right way. It's not like the school down south that has an inherent advantage with the swoosh and then, you know, right, hundreds of millions of dollars. They take in grad transfers. They take in international players. They develop high school players. They have a culture that over two decades has just grown and grown and grown. So I root for them, but I'm curious what your answer would have been on that with Husky fans in particular. Do you think they find themselves rooting or hating that program?
Well, I don't know. And, you know, since I don't do a, you know, daily sports show, I'm not as dialed in.
You don't?
As a lot of people, but I would know. I don't even do a weekend sports show anymore. I would hope people would look at them and say, that's what we can aspire to be. That's, I mean, if Gonzaga can do this, why in the world? And, yep, you know, I don't think the Cougs have that high a ceiling. I think the Huskies do if they could ever figure out how to do things right.
Well, yeah, and on the West Coast, I mean, it was a huge, one of the great stories of really the last 3 months is, as bad as the Pac-12 has been in so many ways, Dory, and we've talked about this, and the failure of leadership at the very, very top, and finally Larry Scott is going to be out of there in about 2 months, and there'll be some new leadership in place. But my goodness, what a run for the Pac-12 men, and more importantly, in my world, for the women, to see an Arizona Stanford all Pac-12 final, a game that was, as I tweeted out last night, Molly had sent to me the ratings that were through the roof in the women's game, the Final Four game, championship game, and then to see the men on the men's side, Oregon State have a historic run, UCLA get, yes, back to a Final Four. It can be done out west. It can be done in the conference, and I'm with you. There's really no excuse in Seattle and for that Husky basketball program to fall the way they've fallen the last few years.
Yeah. Yep, I couldn't agree with you more. All right, there's one last thing I want to touch on. If your son Titus, if he gets recruited to play at the University of Washington,
yeah,
will he wear his Uncle Damon's number 7? Do you think?
Probably, yeah, he probably would.
Really?
I think, okay, that's probably, and he probably point to, yeah, he'd probably point to him too. So, did he know that he wore number 7 or no? You didn't even really remember those years.
You know, now that you mention it, yeah, of course I knew it at one,
yes,
point.
Okay.
But I'm at the stage. you still have extra RAM in your brain. I'm maxed out. Anytime I learn something new, I have to purge something old.
So, something's got to be moved out. Nice.
Yes.
Oh, well, I was thinking about you too. I know we got to run, but I was thinking about you this morning, Molly and I. Wednesdays are my little free days. I don't have some of the other radio commitments. So we went for a hike, 200 steps. Did I send you the picture? Did I send you the picture of the hike today?
Not today.
Okay. Well, no. I'll shoot it to you here when we finish. And next time you come out, Dory, we found a few new hikes.
I'll do it. I am going to be ready. I'll be ready for anything you throw at me next time. By the way, Nicole is very upset with your state.
What?
She, a couple of weeks ago, she was telling you how much she loved Colorado because they scheduled a concert at Red Rock, and she got tickets, and she was going to go in a month or,
uh-oh,
a month and a half.
Uh-oh.
They just postponed it until 2022.
Ugh.
I thought you guys were different out there.
I'll talk to some people, see what we can do.
Okay, do it. Make it a private show. Hire the... I've never heard of the artist. Who's the artist, Nicole?
Brantley Gilbert.
Yeah, never that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. All right. Brock Huert. You can
it was
hear
right after I booked
apartment.
A plane ticket, too.
Oh.
I canceled it.
Oh. Bummer.
I'll come visit.
Okay, you can hear Brock's Above and Beyond podcast. Go to 710sports.com. And I will talk to you soon, my friend. Thanks.
Sounds
for
great,
on.
Dory. Have a great Wednesday.
All right.
See you, buddy.
Brock Huert joining us live. And we have lots more to come. It's the Dory Monson Show.
Rolls on. Rolls on. Rolls on.
Well, as you no doubt have noticed, a theme on the big show this afternoon has been all of these different factions that are trying to create as much racial tension and, you know, God forbid, race war in America. We're seeing the media doing this. We're seeing the president of the United States. It's interesting, you know. I know a lot of people tried to accuse Donald Trump of that. You know, they would always cite Charlottesville. But here you have Joe Biden, who is very blatantly, at best, he's doing the same thing. But what Joe Biden's doing is perhaps even more extreme because, you know, he's just lying about this Georgia voting rights bill. To compare it to Jim Crow laws means that either Joe Biden's cognitive decline is so great and has accelerated at such speed that he just has no idea what the Jim Crow laws actually did in comparison to having to show ID when you cast a vote. I mean, it's a ridiculous comparison, but it's also a dangerous one because he is trying to convince people that the things are as bad or worse racially in America than they were 100-150 years ago. And while we still have a ways to go, without question, but to suggest that things are anywhere, you know, in the same galaxy as they were 100 or more years ago is, well, it's insane. It's crazy. The media is doing the same thing. You are seeing that with the stories they are pushing. We have district attorneys who are doing the same thing. And let me give you one example. You know, the Capitol insurgency on January 6th. Nobody's defending it. But was it the event that the media and certain politicians have portrayed it as? Here's one of the exchanges when a couple of the demonstrators, and they were trespassing, they should not have gone into the Capitol. I'm not defending what they did. But here's an example of one of the exchanges where a Capitol police officer, one of these guys, he's dressed up in some kind of a outfit, costume, carrying an American flag. And he goes and sits up at the podium where the people presiding over the Senate sit. And a Capitol police officer, very friendly tone, says, "Hey, this is a sacred place, the U.S. Senate. Will you guys move on?" And the guy says, "Yeah, yeah, we will." I mean, it's not confrontational. It's not violent.
Hey, man. Glad to see you guys. You guys are patriots. Look at this guy. He's got covered in blood. God bless you.
Yes.
You good, sir? Do you need medical attention?
I'm good. Thank you.
All right.
I got shot in the face.
Where are you?
I got shot in the face with some kind of plastic bullet.
Any chance I could get you guys to leave the Senate wing?
We will. I've been making sure they ain't disrespecting the place.
Okay, just want to let you guys know this is like the sacredest place.
I know.
The guy with the costume is still in jail. You know, more than 3 months later, and there is some talk now that he could be in prison for 7 years. Let's do a compare and contrast. Last week, a Capitol Police officer was murdered. A guy, a radical, a follower of some radical black Muslim groups, jumped out of a car and stabbed a Capitol Police officer to death. The radical, guy from Indiana, he was then shot to death by Capitol Police. Have you heard much of that story since the day it happened? It was big news the day it happened. But the insurgency on January 6th, it is still a story that is being talked about incessantly in the media. Why? Well, because that was white supremacists. What happened last week was a radical black Muslim. So the media didn't see anything to be gained by exploiting that story, by pounding that drum. The guy in that friendly audio exchange that you heard a couple of minutes ago, who may be in prison for 7 years or more, compare and contrast it to two teenage girls last week in the same city, Washington, D.C., 13 and 15 years old, carjacked the vehicle of an Uber Eats driver as he tried to save his livelihood and hold on to the car. The two girls crashed, throwing the man against a brick wall, and he lay dying on the sidewalk while one of the girls said, "My phone's in the car. My phone's in the car." Didn't care about the life she had just taken.
She's stealing their car.
She's stealing the car.
Yeah, we called the cops. Call the cops. Call the cops.
Prosecutors in Washington, D.C. just announced that they are going to treat those two killers as juveniles, which means that they will be out by their 21st birthday for having killed a person. So it's not just the media, it's not just politicians, it's also the people who decide our laws and our justice. As an insurgent, go through the Capitol. And if they can call you a white supremacist, you'll get 7 years in prison. If you kill somebody, murder somebody in a carjacking, the prosecutor could have tried the 15-year-old as an adult, chose not to. There was a racial angle to be played there. And so that's what I'm telling you right now, whether it's media, politicians, district attorney, there is a very dangerous strategic effort that is underway right now. And we all need to be aware of it. And we need to get back to judging each other by the content of our character. But there are people right now who are trying to exploit things for very dangerous reasons. All right, quick time out, and then lots more to come. Don't go anywhere.